I asked Avi Rothberg to join me, or I should join him this morning, because we have smaller classes. And there's a question that I would like to present you with. And we're going to discuss this issue that is a question that maybe some of you have had and didn't feel comfortable asking. So there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, and I'm learning this now in the afternoons, that when you get dressed in the morning, you put your right shoe on first, and then your left shoe, and then you tie your left shoe, then you tie your right shoe, and maybe for women, you don't do that. Maybe you put on your right shoe, and then your left shoe, and tie your right shoe, because you don't wear tefillin. And we know these things. This is how halacha is in Shulchan Aruch, and how to cut your nails. Alternating the fingers, hand, left hand this way, right hand that way. Why are these things important? Like, does God really care how I tie my shoes? Like, why is this important? Why is this in Shulchan Aruch? You know, I understand I wear a yarmulke. Good, I dress a certain way. That's a uniform, right? You wear a yarmulke, you're proud of your uniform, you're identifiable of who you are, and that's something that you can be proud in. Some people aren't, but you should be proud. That's like a military person in his uniform, dress uniform. So the clothing, I get the clothing. You dress a certain way, someone sees you on the street, they can identify you. I was once in a shopping center, and a few African-Americans said, oh, yeah, he's an upright Jew. good. Look, you could identify that I'm a Yid. I'm fine with that. I'm very happy with that. That's fine. That I understand. But these little tiny details about how to get dressed, how to put on my shoes, how to clip my nails, and of course, it doesn't end with that. It goes on and on with all the halachas of Shabbos and Yontif. Day to day, from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed, you know, even non-Jews have a concept of washing up before a meal. You know, you wash up before a meal. How to wash your hands, which hand to take the cup, how many times to pour, how much water you need. Like, why are these things so important? Like, why is there halachas detailing all these tiny little things? That's the question that I like to discuss. So I'm going to ask Avi Rothberg to pick up at this point.
I had to check my shoes, just in case. There's a tremendous concept that we have, and we actually discussed it in Mishlei, but it's really the opening for the whole discussion. There's a Gemara in Brachos, in Samach Gimel. The Gemara says, Yesh parsha ketana shekol gufei Torah tuluyim ba. There's a small parsha, it's a pasuk, that the entire body of Torah is based upon. And the pasuk says, "Bechol drachecha de'ehu." In all that you do, you should know Hashem. And the Gemara is telling us an absolutely fundamental idea, and it has to do with a lot of things. Let me. For most of the world makes a dichotomy. Dichotomy means a split, and they divide their life into two parts: there's holy, and there's mundane, kadosh and chol. And there's times when you're relating to something spiritual, and there's times when you're relating to something physical. And it's two different existences. And you spend your time, you have your holidays, and you have your places where you worship, and you have your religious experiences, and you have your mundane, and you have your secular, and you have like that. And it's something that really the whole world struggles with. To such an extent, sometimes if you take the extreme example, you have like you find in major world religions, and they just can't put these two ideas together. You have the church, for example. Either you become a priest, and of course you can't have a family, or you have a family, and you just will resign yourself to just not being that holy. And they're not the only ones. Buddhists do that. Other people do that. But basically, there's a split. There's kodesh and there's chol. And the Torah says, no, that's not the way you have to learn. And by the way, sometimes it even enters our way of thinking. I was just telling my wife, there's a story. I was talking to somebody, I think my wife, somebody. I was talking to somebody, and there's an amazing story. So there was a story about one of the Satmar Hasidim had a medical condition, and the Satmar Rebbe encouraged him. There was a firm doctor in Washington Heights whose name I should remember, but I don't. So if you do, whatever. And he suggested that he go to that doctor. And the chassid was like hesitant. He says, well, I don't know. You know, he's a doctor. He went to medical school. He's not so firm. He dresses. So the Satmar Rebbe told him an amazing statement. He said,
was
you know.
Dr. Mahler?
Yeah, it was Dr. Mahler. Yeah, good. And he said, you know, go to him now, because now you'll have the opportunity to see him. Up in Shemayim, you won't be able to see him, because he's on such a high madriga. And it's a very powerful thing. The Torah's Hashkafa is, b'chol drechecha de'ehu. There's no such thing as connecting to Hashem, not connecting to Hashem, to be in secular and to be in spiritual. What we have the potential to do, which is mind-boggling, is we could transform any action as a form of avodas Hashem. There's no such thing as disconnecting yourself from Hashem. Everything that we do, we could bring Hashem into, but not artificially. We mamash make an action, every action. So let's take the example that Rabbi Eisenberg was talking about. You're putting on your shoes. The entire galaxy puts on shoes. Right? Everybody puts on shoes. Big deal. You got to put on shoes. You're not going to walk around barefoot. You put on shoes. Right? Big deal. So, okay, listen, there are other things. I'm going to put on shoes. I'll get dressed, and I'm going to daven. So in other words, eventually I'll come to Hashem. Says Shulchan Aruch, no. You never leave Hashem. The way you go to sleep at night, you have Hashem. Hamapil, Kriya Shema. Halachas are really even how you're supposed to get dressed when you wake up. How you put on your shoes. I am constantly dovuk to Hashem, but more than that, my entire life, I've never stopped growing. I've never stopped doing avodas Hashem. There's never a break. I never have to leave that arena to do. And that's going to define everything you do. It's an unbelievable. We have the potential. What Torah gives us is an unbelievable thing. I don't have to make a decision. Am I going to be holy or am I going to be in the secular world? My entire life could be totally in avodas Hashem. I always say this, you know, you go to class. I mean, the limited kosher is nothing to talk about. Your mamash have this opportunity. You're sitting in class and every letter is mamash Talmud Torah, dveikus with Hashem. But the afternoon also, to do things, to know your parents want you to do it, to relate appropriately. You never leave avodas Hashem. You're able to transform, to elevate every aspect of your life. What the mitzvahs do, there's a midrash, there's a beautiful midrash in Dvarim. The midrash darshan's from a pasuk in Mishlei, that it says, levias chayin l'roshecha, that it's like an accompaniment of grace, literally your head. It's described like jewelry, but it means the mitzvahs, the Torah mitzvahs. And the midrash gives it's talking about, you know, the normal society in the time of the midrash, is a person's a farmer. He says, you go out to your fields, so what are you going to do? So first of all, you're gonna plant. So there's a mitzvah, there's kilayim, and then there's ways. How do you take your ox and your animals, and how do you put them together? There's another problem with kilayim, and how do you plant, and what do you plant, and then you harvest, and then you have halachas of truma and maisa, then you have halachas of how do you pay your workers, and the midrash goes through all these activities. You never, in other words, the value, every aspect of your life becomes an aspect of avodas Hashem, but not the way that you have to like separate and somehow you can't do avodas Hashem while you're doing secular things. The way you take tests, the way you relate to your parents, the way you relate to each other, you've never left. You have the ability that your entire life is kaddish. So why are there so many mitzvahs? Why are there so many details? Because if you didn't have that, then the action would have no value. You're able to, the Torah gives us the way that everything, b'chol drachecha, you've made every moment of your life as avodas Hashem. It's kaddish. It means every, for Mishlei, again, remember Avram, Zak, and Baba Yamim. Every day had value. How does every day have value? Remember we spoke about that? The idea, Yiras Hashem Tosif Yamim. Every action has value. If you look at it as a burden, you so totally miss the boat. Every moment is a form that has infinite value of dveikus with Hashem. The ability to take anything and make a kaddish. And again, and that's so important also. I mean, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent, but Bezos Hashem, obviously what you hope to be is wives and mothers, and you know, and like I was telling you, like, you know, life is not like all exciting. I mean, you have babies and you change diapers and you nurse and you feed and you put them to sleep and they burp and they got some business, right? But if you understand what you're doing, your mamash oisek in pikuach nefesh. You're keeping a future of Klai Yisrael alive. You're laying the foundation of how many binyanim and how much nitzchius and how much eternity and what's going to come out of this. And to do it l'shem shamayim, that this is something I'm helping bring more kvod shamayim into the world and more kiddush Hashem in the world. To create that, everything becomes transformed. Just one last final thing. The Sfasema says the word mitzvah comes from this Aramaic word, safsa. It means accompaniment. In Aramaic, it means accompaniment. But a mitzvah means Kodesh Baruch Hu accompanies me. I accompany Hashem in every action that I do. In everything that I do, I brought Hashem into that action. I've made it nitzri, eternal, Kodesh, Avodas Hashem. And I've made my life unbelievably valuable. There's not a second of my life that doesn't have unbelievable value. And that's what we get. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his chesed, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakos says, Yisrael L'Fikach Kibbalim Torah Mitzvahs. Hashem, there's two ways you can learn what L'Zakos means. Either Hashem wanted to give us merit, or Hashem wanted to purify us. But Hashem did us a tremendous, tremendous chesed. In every mitzvah, we brought Hashem. Hashem, in a sense, in a very deep sense, has made himself accessible. That Hashem is willing to become a part of every aspect of everything we do. So Hashem, kivyachol, b'kvado v'atzmo, is willing to enter our lives and every action that we do to say, you know what, I'll let you bring me into it. And I'll let you use that action as a means of connecting. Which means the life that I live is unbelievably significant, unbelievably potentially holy, and unbelievably kodesh, davuk to Hashem. And that's what mitzvahs give us.
Just to continue on this idea, before the Shulchan Aruch tells us how to put on our shoes, before he tells us how to clip our nails and everything else, the very first line of Shulchan Aruch, chapter 1, paragraph 1, Yisgaber ka'ari la'amod babor kalavodis baro. Get up in the morning with strength and gevura to serve his creator. Everything we do from the time we wake up, getting up, getting out of bed, there's no question the snooze button of some of the Yetzer Hara, I'll figure that one out. You get out of bed to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. You wake up knowing, today I'm going to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. You jump out of bed. Now, they say it might not be healthy to immediately jump out of bed, so you wait a few seconds. You know what a few seconds are? Moda Ani. By the time you finish Moda Ani, you can get out of bed. And the Mishnah Berurah says, you know, the Yetzer is very smart. The Yetzer Hara is going to tell you in the wintertime, it's so cold, don't get out of bed, stay in bed a little longer. In the summertime, he tells you, here's too tired, you didn't sleep enough. Because if you think about it, in those days, I'm sure they slept more in the winter than the summer. If the light is out, the sun is up, they're busy working. So you didn't sleep that much in the summer because the night's shorter. So in the summer times, the Yetzer told you, you didn't sleep enough, stay in bed. And in the winter time, there's a long night, but it's freezing outside. Stay in bed, it's warm in bed. So Yetzer tries to convince you to stay in bed. And you, no, don't listen to Yetzer. Yisgab kari, be strong like a lion. Lavodas boro. Everything that follows in this volume of Shulchan Aruch is how to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Ramah begins, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samid, Hu Klagod L'Bitur Ma'as HaTzadikim. The very first comment of Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, Shivisi Hashem L'negdi Samid, always realize the Baruch Hu is in front of you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, the Baruch Hu is with you. And he goes on to say, because you don't behave the same. You don't sit the same, you don't act the same, you don't behave the same when the melech is with you than when you're not. When you're alone in private, you know, you behave a little differently. So if Shivis Hashem Negdi Samid, you're always with the Ribono Shel Olam. And the bigger the tzaddik basically is the one who is more aware of that. The one who is the bigger tzaddik is constantly aware the Shekhinah is with him. And the one who is less doesn't have that awareness all the time. So we have to work on that. That's what we work on, to be aware that Shivis Hashem L'negdi Samid. And that's why we have all the rules, and from literally from the time I wake up, the time I go to sleep. There's a mice in the Gemara, you're all familiar with the story. You know the story of Kimchis. Kimchis, the Gemara tells us, was a very special lady. Her sons were Kahanim Gedolim. And the Gemara says, what was her merit, and what's the chus that she have Kaham Gadol for children? The Gemara says, the beams of her house never saw her hair. She always kept her hair covered, always. That means even if she took a bath or something on her head, she covered her head. There were men tzaddikim like that too, who never uncovered their heads. Rogachev never took his yarmulke off. The Baba Sali would never take it. Always had a head covering. But for an ish, it's a special thing to cover her hair. And she had sons, Kohen Gadol. I remember one lady came to me and says, I don't understand. That's a terrible story. Because that means her sons all died. And one after the other to replace. And I said, no, you're making a mistake. That's not what happened in the story. If a Kohen is a Kohen Gadol, and a person whose tummy talks to him, and a little saliva from the tummy person lands on the Kohen Gadol's clothing, what is that? He's tummy now. Ilma Tama the Kohen Gadol. Someone else has to replace him. I don't think it means her sons died one after the other. It means something happened and he became tummy. Her next son had to take over and she was merited to see her sons all serving as Kohen Gadol. In any event, the Gemara says she had the zechus because she always had her hair covered. And the Gemara says other women tried the same thing. There are other women who did it all too. They also covered their hair all the time. They didn't have Kohen Gadol for sons. What made Kimchus different? The Gemara says, this was the recipe. You want a recipe for wonderful kids? Keep your hair covered all the time. But other women did it, and it didn't work. And the answer is, it's not because she covered her hair the whole time. Anyone could cover the hair the whole time. Why did she cover the hair the whole time? Because if he says something like this, Amit. If I'm alone, I can uncover my hair. But I'm never alone. The Rebbeinu is with me. The Shekhinah is with me. She vises my Amit. How can I uncover my hair? Her hair was covered because she felt the presence of the Baruch Hashem. She understood, she has an awareness of Hashem with her. So, keep my hair covered all the time. The other women, yeah, they kept their hair covered all the time. But it's not like they felt, they weren't doing it because they felt the Shekhinah presence. They weren't doing it because she was something like the summit. So, it's really, it's not even so much the actions, it's the thought. Now, we have to follow halacha. We do all the halachas. And we don't always think about when we put on our shoes and when we cut our nails and everything else. It's because Shavisa Hashem and Yisamit. But ultimately, that's the goal. But for the zechus that she had, it was because she always had that in mind. Now, I just want to add one more point that I think we can relate to. Because even if we say that the goal is to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're in this world to serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're in this world to give Kavod Shemayim, and literally everything we do, from the time you get up, walking down the street, you know, you walk to school, do you say good morning to people you see, non-Jewish people? Do you say good morning to them? You say good morning to them. You've been covered Shemayim. Menschlichkeit, literally, people at work, in their office, non-stop examples, opportunities of making Kiddush Hashem. So we have to be aware of that. But like all the tiny, tiny details, literally, like really, like again, so yeah, I'll put on my shoes, right, and I'll realize I'm doing this to serve Hashem, but all the intricacies, why is that important? I imagine just about everyone here has used an amazing technological tool called email. You use email. You send messages. I don't know how it works. It works. It's an amazing thing. Send an email. And on occasion, I've sent an email, and it didn't go. And I get back some message. No, can't deliver this email the way you did it. Why couldn't I deliver the email? So you check the address. It's the right address. Like, what did I do wrong? I'm just making up a thing. Let's say I wanted to send the email to Rabbi AD, initials AD, at Gmail. So I put in Rabbi AD at gmail.com. It's not going to get there. Why is it going to get there? What did I do wrong? Well, you can't send it to gmail.com. It has to be gmail.com. And if that dot, that period, is missing between the L and the C, not going anywhere. It's one dot, a period. And if it's not there, it's not going. It's not going. One dot. Seemingly insignificant. What's a period? But evidently, in the world of email, it's very significant. It happened to me this morning. I have shiurim that I put on a server, and from the server connect to a web page, and people who miss my shiur could get my shiur on the computer. So I do this basically, I come out every day, not allowed shiur, not Shabbos, obviously, 5 times a week, 6 times a week, I'm uploading a shiur. So I got the habit of checking to make sure it worked. Like I'll go to the website afterwards and click on this shiur and make sure it comes up, because sometimes it doesn't. This morning, I put up the shiur as a shiur I gave to the post-seminary girls last night. and we send out the shiur, it goes out to the alumni. So I loaded the shiur on the server, and I click on it. Error, cannot be server, something's wrong. I find that very distressing. Like, what error? I did it. Like, what did I do wrong? So I check again. Name is right. That was right. Try it again. Error. Cannot. I checked the one before. Yeah, that works. Everything's working. What did I do wrong? And then I realized what I did wrong. An audio file is usually an MP3. There's many different types. The ones I use are MP3. Right? MP3. It says MP3. It ended dot MP3. I know already. You got to put the dot MP3. The difference was, the way it was put on my server was with capital M, capital P, and the way it was connected was lowercase m, lowercase p. It's case sensitive. The same letters, but one was a capital and one was not. I had to rechange it on the server to a lowercase instead of an uppercase. And I've learned to look for these nuances. Once I had a dash, and it was an understrike instead of a dash, it makes a difference. The smallest little things. But when you want to do something in a big way, you know, if I'm having a talk with you, so I might make a mistake. My punctuation might be, like, we don't even see the punctuation, right? But when you want to start connecting and reaching and going beyond this room, every period, case sensitive, it all makes a difference. When you're doing things down here, so we're physical, right? But we're also ruchni. And we don't understand the ruchnius world. We don't see the ruchnius world around us that clearly. Sometimes we get a glimpse, a little bit, you see a little bit, but we don't really see it well. We don't realize what are the dots, what are the periods, what's case sensitive. When we tie our shoes, how you tie your shoes, how you clip your nails, makes a difference. It's not only the simple or general, not so simple, concept of and we're doing everything to be aware of Hashem's presence and with Hashem. But you have to understand, to accomplish in Ruchnius, what seems to us as a minor detail can make all the difference between accomplishing something. I mean, I did everything right to get this shiur online, and it didn't work because I didn't have a cap. I had an uppercase, I had a lowercase. The dot makes a difference. The tiny dot. It's not insignificant. So we don't understand and we don't realize the importance and value, perhaps. Shulchan Aruch is telling us, this is what you got to do. And don't discount it because we don't understand how this makes it capable of going up, 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 high places, far away. There's no question that the way we tie our shoes goes further than the email we sent, which goes around the whole world, right? But this goes beyond this world. So the smallest things can make big differences. And yes, we don't understand all of it. And conceptually, the concept is something, the concept of doing over it's Hashem, with everything to do, everything physical could be spiritual as well. But the minutia, these little details, really do make a difference. They make a difference in getting it to where it's supposed to go. I want this email delivered, don't miss that dot. I want my mitzvah to go where it's supposed to go. You better do it exactly the right way.
Just in the last couple of minutes, just to pick up on what Rabbi Eisenberger said, just to give it a different aspect. So it's just the idea of, you know, obviously, you know, everything has to be right or it just doesn't work. There's also another aspect also. You know, I've been, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm close to some guy, whatever, chassid, and he's also had to get engaged. And like amazing things happen. So these people spend hours. They want it to be this bot. They want it to be set up exactly right. They have this whole thing. They need it to be over there. And it has to be the sun has to be the right place. And this has to be the right place. And that has to be the right place. I'm looking back. Did I do that also? I must have done that also. But everything has to be perfect. And if you think like the most important thing is you're going to get engaged. Like, why does it matter? So why do people do that? Because at this moment, they're feeling an enormous amount of love. They want to express it. And they know that sometimes Ava is not only, of course, she's going to get the ring, she'll get the bracelet, and it's all going to be taken care of. That's not the point. Ava is expressed sometimes by knowing what's important to the other person. And even if it's not so, so, so important, like you don't understand why it matters that you have this cauliflower and not that cauliflower, but people tell you that's really what matters, and you want to do it. Because that's an expression of Ahava. Kosh Baruch Hu was Megala, for whatever reason, that this is his Ratzon. Our relationship to Kosh Baruch Hu is multi-level, but part of his idea of Ish V'Isha, Av to Ben, besides everything that Rabbi Eisenberg said, which of course is for sure true, that it has to work, it just has to work, it has to be precise. But it's even on a deeper level. I want to show Akash Baruch Hu that it matters. If I get my wife a present and a card is stained, same message, she'll still be able to read it. Felt, something's lacking. Because I didn't do it. But when we're medaktik in Shulchan Aruch, when we're medaktik in everything, I'm showing Akash Baruch Hu, I want it. This relationship, it matters to me. I love the fact that you're making yourself accessible to me. I love the fact that you care enough to enter every aspect of my life. I want to show you my feeling to you. I'm not going to do it sloppy, because you told us through Chazal, through Paiskim, through Shulchan Aruch, you told us this matters to you. I'm not going to judge what matters. My wife tells me she loves this type of flower. I'm going to go look up, that's really not the best color. They've done studies, yellow is the best color. I'm an idiot. Kosh Baruch Hu is Megala to us, this is important to him. I want to express that. It matters to me because it matters to Kosh Baruch Hu. Every diktuk, every time that we're medaktik, I've made a statement. Kosh Baruch Hu, I'm doing it because it's your ratzon. I don't have to understand it. It's not so important. I'm doing it because you told me it's chashuv. By doing that, I'm expressing that your ratzon is important to me. And Akash Baruch Hu, by being megala to us, what he wants, has given us a tremendous opportunity to express how much it matters to us and how important it is to do it the way Akash Baruch Hu wants us to do it.